Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! Exclamation point, The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
And Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way, the newest book in the Wise Woman Herbal series.
So exciting.
In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses.
TheWiseWomanSchool.com. Join us there for colorful, instructive, easy video courses, including Easy Herbal Medicine with Susan Weed, Happy Knees, a cancer diagnosis, adaptogens for long life, and Abundantly Well companion course, wisewomanschool.com.
You can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine, and welcome, Sarah Ellen.
Hi, Susan. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I am doing absolutely wonderfully well. I went for a long walk with Durga Yael yesterday, the creator of the goddesses for our conferences. The Comfrey Goddess and the Hypericum Goddess, and now the Red Clover Goddess. She's so beautiful, and I have the original, and I'm looking at her. Oh, so wonderful.
Wonderful.
I love the way the roots come out of her arms, and I've been so happy to hear the good news that we have room for maybe one or two more Red Clover presenters. We're just about filled up. So you've been thinking about presenting at the Red Clover Conference. Let us know, because we're about to say, we have everybody we need. Now, you can always enter a short, and you know, hey, there's still Red Clover out there. There's still Crimson Clover and Sweet Clover and other kinds of clover. So make your Red Clover shorts, because next year, whatever conference is going on, it may be too early for there to be much red clover. So think about it now. I know this is somewhat hard to do, but we do that as herbalists, don't we? We think ahead.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
For sure. We harvested some hops. I've been meaning to harvest my hops for a month. And it was somewhat, you know, a little, like, to me, past its prime when we finally managed to get it. Some of it was shattering. Some of it was brown. But it smells so strong.
Oh.
I had it drying in a basket, and somebody came in here today and said, "Oh, my gosh, where's the cannabis?" I said, "It's not cannabis, it's hops."
Wow. So, and you're drying it. So are you going to use it for tea, or what are you going to
dream
do?
Dream pillows. Because of smell, right?
Right. Oh, yes.
Very aromatic, and it holds that smell for a long, long, long time. Matter of fact, somebody said that if the smell starts to get like a little, like not noticeable, you can sprinkle your dream pillow with a little witch hazel. And that will reactivate the smell.
I love that. Is that just for hops or for most dream pillows?
For any of them. And hops, of course, is one of the classic herbs for dream pillows. And thank you, science, for following up on this. They find that Humulus lupulus hops has neuroactive properties that influence sleeping. They appear to increase GABA receptor function.
Hmm.
I have seen people fall asleep next to a cup of hot hops tea. People who swear they never sleep.
Wow.
And we made some hops tincture. Hops tincture is very sleep-inducing. And I'm interested to see if it will also be pain-relieving without being sleep-inducing.
Hmm.
So, I'm going to be teaching a class on herbal pain remedies at the Goddesses in the Redwoods in California next year.
Oh.
Hmm. And Thursday morning, I'm off to Red Earth Women's Herbal Gathering.
Oh, yay, it's here.
Yay. Hooray. Hey. I talked to Astrid last night, and she says there is still room for a few more women. So that's another thing. If you've been thinking, I wonder if I should do that. I was talking to someone who was telling me that she was feeling very lonely. And I said, well, you know, it's possible to feel lonely, but if you just take a moment, you'll realize there's, like, lots of plants and trees and animals and even insects and mushrooms and mycelium, and you can't really be alone. The whole planet is throbbing with life.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's not the same as human company.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I hear you. It's not. It's all planet throbbing with life, but it's not the same as human company. So go online. Find a group. There's lots of groups. My friend Robin Free, up until the time when she could no longer use her upper body at all because of her MS, found great solace in talking with other women, and now we can do it by Zoom. And she, back in the day, was just in chat rooms. But it was a human contact, and I've seen so much for people who are very limited that contact is so good. And she looks at me and she says, Yes, but it's not the same as actually being with people. And I said, you're absolutely right. I'm on my way out to Colorado to be with, I don't know, 150 women or so out at the Red Earth Gathering. Why don't you drop everything and come with us? And she said, oh, I don't want to travel that far to be with people.
Oh.
Resistance is such a delightful companion.
Yes. It can be a constant.
It's so well-versed in why we can't and how impossible it is and how the state we're in is the only state we're in. And, you know, if that's the way it's to be, well, then revel in it.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no remedy, then the remedy is to enjoy yourself. And say, oh, here I am again, feeling absolutely weepy and lonely. Oh, what a delight it is that I can feel so lonely. How delighted I am that I am in this human body that experiences these emotions and that I can use my senses and my interior presence and sense of self to have this exquisite feeling of longing and yearning and loneliness. I mean, what did Rumi do with that feeling?
Wow. I don't even know.
Oh, Rumi turned it into incredible poetry of longing, longing for the beloved.
Wow.
The yearning that we feel. This is, to me, this is what gets us up in the morning, right? That we wake up yearning.
Mm-hmm.
We wake up wanting. I said to someone recently, and I think it's really quite true, to be a woman is to never be satisfied.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah.
I want it more. I want it different. I want it
better. I want it. Yes.
The same. Yeah.
And I think last week we were talking about women hunting and that the women were the tool innovators, right? Because we're never satisfied.
Right.
Well, we did that. We did pretty good that time, but what if we did this? What if you and you went over there and so-and-so and I went over here? And what if we had a thing that we could do like this, you know? We're always looking to improve, to change. Mm. She touches everything, and everything she touches changes. So what's changing and doing and happening out at your place?
Ooh, well, the seasons are definitely changing. Fall's arrival is definitely making itself known. The leaves are coming down much more, and things are shriveling up, and it's been pretty, I would say, quiet. It's been a quiet week here for the most part, and just watching the trees seem to be, our little trees, really seem to be having an amazing growth spurt. The hawthorns up the driveway have now made it to the top of the pasture fence on one side of the driveway. Yeah. So they're looking great. And and just checking out some of the plants that were new last year, like the Artemisia vulgaris, the cronewort. She's blooming and happy. So I'm just, you know, helping make sure that there's space around her for when she falls over or when her seeds, you know, come out, there's some space for growth of her babies next year, because I'd love to just have a patch. I know she takes over pretty easily, but I put her in a challenging spot where she's amongst a lot of things that can live pretty easily. So she's holding her own, and I love it.
I once taught at a health food store in a shopping center. It's like a big parking lot with lots of stores. And they were paving the parking lot. And we went on a walk, and there was Artemisia vulgaris growing out of the hot tar.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, it was like right up to the edge where the hot tar was, and it was just fine.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my.
I bought an Artemisia at the plant stand, and it was a kind of small thing last year, and this year it's gotten bigger and flowered, and I looked at it and went, oh, my God, goodness, look at that. The leaves have 3 points. It's a tridentata.
Mm.
I wonder if it will grow into sagebrush. Yeah. I wonder if it will get that big. Right now it's kind of like yours. It's just, like, so relaxed. It's like, stand up. Oh, no, I just want to lie on the ground.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
I had to prop the sunflower up, too. Its head got so heavy.
Aw. I was so happy our sunflower is also in bloom now. Something ate the head off of it real early on, and I was wondering, but now it's got a beautiful sunflower head, and there's a couple more trying to make it up there.
Yay!
I'm so happy. Yeah.
Somebody gave me miniature sunflowers in a bucket for my birthday, and I dutifully planted them, skeptical as I'll get out. I mean, the bucket is like maybe 6 inches in diameter. It's small, and I was supposed to plant these 3 seeds in it. And lo and behold, 3 miniature bonsai sunflowers grew with flowers like, oh, maybe a little bigger than tansy, but perfect sunflowers. They were just so cute.
So cute. Wow. I've never seen that. That's so cute. Yeah.
So I've had sunflowers from I don't know, these are, as they're flowering, they're maybe 5 or 6 inches tall.
Mm.
To the big giant one with its head bigger than my face.
Mm. Wow, talk about extremes.
Right.
Aw.
And everywhere, the Asteraceae is shouting, hey?
Oh, it sure is. Yes, everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have a beautiful plant called a woodland aster here. And it only grows about knee-high, but it's covered in white to purplish rayed asters. They're not really strongly yellow at the center, but there's a little bit of yellow at the center, and there are just millions of them this year. It's stunning. Like the snowy carpet. And then, of course, the goldenrod, which is also an aster.
Yes.
Right.
Too. Mm-hmm.
And all of the cone flowers, Echinacea and Blanket Flower and Black-Eyed Susan.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's such a colorful parade. And then all of the pollinators dutifully working them. I miss my New England aster. I need to, I'd like to get another little start of that. I was at our old home and just, oh, so beautiful. It was a rich purple with a bright yellow center. I planted it in the exact wrong spot, front and center of my front yard. And so it was 5 feet tall aster, but it was great. It just set the tone for wild lived here. So
it is a beautiful, beautiful plant. When Justine and I went down to the Innisfree garden to do some videotaping, there was a plant there that I at first thought was the New England aster, because it's very tall, taller than my shoulders, and that beautiful, it's just such a stunning purple color. It's a rich, it's like velvety purple. It's a bright yellow center, but it wasn't. As I got closer to it, I saw that it wasn't, that the leaves were a little different and the flower was actually different. And it said, I am ironweed. I'm like, whoa. Went home and looked it up, and sure enough, that's what it is ironweed.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'll have to look for
that. Yeah, it's a little more toward the Jupiterium side of the Asteraceae.
Okay.
The petals are much more finely, the so-called petals, the ray flowers, are much finer.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So good time to be harvesting, good time to be looking around. I will admit that this is also a time of the year when I am at my most vigilant and work the hardest on removing grass.
How come
that, now? That growth spurt that you're seeing in the trees is happening in all of the plants. They're really putting down good roots to go over the winter now. So this is the time to really get the grass out. You know, I often tease that if you don't want to spend time with grass, don't be a gardener, because you're going to spend most of your time taking grass out. Right.
Yeah, like to hold on to. Oh, my. Yes.
Yes.
I did not enjoy that so much last fall. I did take a lot of grass out. I have more grass to take out, that's for sure.
Grass, especially the kind of garden stuff I have where I don't put down black plastic or herbicides or things like that. I'm just working with what's right out there. Well, where is that? Here we go. Anna Clint is going to be with us tonight in, just a little bit over an hour from now. Anna works with women all over the globe to heal their painful past in order to create lives they really love. She is an expert in the field of psycho-spiritual energetic healing, using state-of-the-art energy healing tools and transformational listening plus spiritual coaching to guide her clients out of confusion, self-doubt, and perfectionism and into a life of grace, ease, connection, and purpose. Anna lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. When she's not writing about self-love and ascension, you'll find her walking her one-eyed healer, Luna Tuna, amongst the juniper trees. So hang in there with us until 9 o'clock, or come back to hear what Anna has to say about healing your past and living a purposeful life. Anything else you want to talk about tonight?
No, thanks. I think I am good. I see we've got three callers.
Well, let's get started with those callers then.
All right. And then also we do have an email question that's been hanging out for a couple weeks. We've had so many callers, so just I want to remember that this week as well, and we'll remind everyone.
Yes, let's say that is the you said there's three callers. Let's make it the fourth caller. So whoever calls after that is the fifth caller. So that way we'll be sure that it's in the queue. Does that work?
That sounds great. And I'll remind anyone listening that a question for Susan this evening. Press one, and then we'll see your hand go up in the queue, and you will be in line to have your line open and speak live with Susan. All right, here we go. And we'll start in the 917 area code. In the 917, you are live with Susan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Hi, Susan. This is Nagin. I actually called like the last couple of minutes 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned that I have that I'm working through H. pylori, and you were like, oh my god, call back next week. But anyway, here I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Helicobacter is, to me, just a fascinating story because we start with modern medicine actually kind of acting like mind-body things are important by, for a long time, saying ulcers in your stomach, ulcers in your digestive tract, are caused by stress. You have to calm down. You can't be a type A personality. You know, you have to soothe yourself. And then a scientist thought, you know, it just doesn't seem right to me. It's a real problem, and I think it actually has a causative agent. And working with the digestive juices from the stomach of a great number of people, he was able to identify a bacteria that is found basically in all human stomachs and in a greater degree in stomachs where there's ulcers. And that's Helicobacter pylori. So the medical profession didn't want to believe him. He proved his point by culturing the bacteria, consuming
into
a large
his own body, right?
Consuming
like,
a large dose and
yeah.
getting ulcers so badly he almost died from internal bleeding.
Yeah, I read that as well.
Quite the amazing story. So for me, it doesn't say to me that we were wrong, because, of course, we know that pretty much all disease manifestation is related to stress. And it doesn't say that he was wrong. I think there is more of this bacteria when there are ulcers. But in the modern world where it becomes an us or them, an either or, what happens is antibiotics are used to wipe this bacteria out, and that actually results then in worsening of digestive problems.
That's exactly, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, oh, here's, you know, your stomach is already so sensitive and vulnerable. Why would I put antibiotics, anti-life into my body to make me feel worse? But yeah, I am doing the holistic route. And when I called you last week, I was actually, almost this Friday exactly will be 2 weeks that I feel like there's been a breakthrough because I don't have the pain anymore. Because I was also in some pain. I did add a little bit of fermented foods in the last few days, but I feel like the fermented food gets me really bloated. But at the moment, I'm doing mastic gum. I'm doing this one supplement that is for H. pylori. I'm doing licorice. I'm doing, you know, tablespoons of turmeric 3 times a day. With I'm doing just a few drops of golden seal. I'm doing also raw garlic a few times a day. So just like really natural, and all of that stuff, you know, like I said, in the last 10 days, it's finally starting to work. And I'm supposed to go and give a stool test this week just to see, you know, where I am.
All right. You're doing a couple of things that are a little bit alarming to me.
Okay.
So, let's see. The last thing you mentioned was raw garlic, yes?
Yeah.
So, when you are using that raw garlic, do you let it sit for 10 to 15 minutes so that it can develop its medicinal property?
I let it sit for 2 to 3 minutes. Should I leave it longer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. The allicin is an oxidative byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
And raw garlic is not particularly kind to the stomach.
I try to eat it with food.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yes, if you're making sure that there's other stuff going into your stomach at the same time, that should be perfectly okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure that garlic is going to help, but it probably won't hurt since you are making sure to let it sit out and since you're eating it with food. You
mm-hmm.
also mentioned golden seal.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask that Native women that I knew, Native American women that I knew, I've had golden seal for a very long time before anybody would answer me. And finally, one of the women, said, you're really bothering us asking about golden seal, and you keep asking over and over again. I said, yeah. And you keep telling me you use it as a dye, and I know it's true. It was yellow cocoon. It's a good, bright, fast dye. I said, but I know you must have used it another way. She said, okay, so I'm going to tell you the primary way that we used it, but you're not going to like it. I said, okay. She said, you've probably heard that except for the great peaceful nations, the nations fought each other. And you've probably heard that they not only fought each other, but that they tortured each other. And what you maybe didn't hear was that the women got to torture the women captives. And one of our favorite tortures was to tie a woman up and not give her anything to eat or drink for several days, and then to give her golden seal. And it would either cause liver failure, kidney failure, or ulcers.
Wow.
Which would cause her to die of liver failure or kidney failure or internal bleeding. All three of which are extremely painful. For these reasons and others, I have never once used golden seal.
Okay.
Do you know anything about where golden seal grows?
No.
Well, it grows as far away from people as it possibly can. So right away, we get a strong message from golden seal that it should not be an item that we would use regularly. It might be something that we could use for some big problem, but we wouldn't want to use it daily.
Okay.
And
okay,
I think that what you're doing, and tell me if I got it wrong, but it sounds like what you're doing is trying to kill the Heliobacter with herbs.
Definitely.
Why not just take the antibiotic if that's what you want to do? It makes no sense to me. You're doing exactly what we just said isn't healthy.
So what do you think that I should do? I mean,
Healthy stomachs have Heliobacter. What I do as a wise woman is I nourish. I nourish wholeness, and I nourish health. I don't set about killing things, especially not something that is known to be in the stomachs of all healthy human beings. So I like to use slippery herbs. I like marshmallow root. I like slippery elm. My friend, walking partner's husband, who underwent treatment for throat cancer, loves okra because it's so healing to his digestive system.
Oh, I just bought some okra.
Yes. Now, let's think and maybe even feel into this just for a moment. Mm-hmm. So I want you to just maybe close your eyes and be with your body and think about eating okra. And then I want you to breathe out like you're blowing out candles. And open your eyes and then close them and be in your body and think about taking golden seal. Did those two imaginings, were they different? Did you have any different experience with that?
I can't really say. Maybe mm-hmm. I need more time with it.
Mm-hmm. Give it a try. The golden seal generally has an energy of fighting and tightness, whereas the marshmallow has an energy of opening and strengthening.
Okay.
What we want to do is to strengthen your tissues so they don't ulcerate and bleed. Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions right now?
Yes. As per your suggestion, I'm doing linden, nettle, red clover, and comfrey.
Okay, rotating through those.
Yes.
Excellent. The comfrey is one of the biggest healers to the digestive system. And I find that comfrey is far better and far safer than licorice.
Okay.
Can you grow licorice?
Can I? I've never tried.
It's a tropical plant.
The licorice that I'm taking is a supplement.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem, isn't it? Every time Consumer Reports and other consumer watchdog industry places go out and buy herbal supplements, herbs in capsules, and take them to the laboratory, I find the vast majority of them either don't contain what they're supposed to contain more of what they're supposed to have than what they say, contain less, or in some instances contain heavy metals, antibiotics, amphetamines, and other hormonal drugs. I don't and can't consider it safe to take an herb in a capsule.
I'm not really into supplements as well. Like I just eat high vibrational foods and obviously my herbs. You know, I like to go to the source.
What is it? What on earth is a low vibration food?
Just like, you know, like healthy food, like vegetables, you know, good quality meats and good water.
Foods without labels.
Exactly.
Got it. I tend not to use the words high and low because they're so divisive.
Okay.
You see, I don't want to be high because if I'm high, then someone is lower than me. And it's certainly not my spiritual goal to make anyone lower than me.
I like that, Susan. So, Susan, I know that the H. pylori, it exists in, like, all humans. It's just that when it goes out of balance, that's when, you know, it becomes troublesome. So even though, like, right now it is out of balance, you would still, and that's why, you know, I've been taking the holistic and the herbal antibiotics because, you know, it'll help to kill, like, it won't kill the good bacteria in my body. So even
you said,
then, you would you still.
Said, golden seal is a massive destroyer of gut flora.
Okay. I'm not going to take it. I'll stop taking it.
And when you take an herb in a capsule form, it also is pretty hard on gut flora because it breaks open in your gut and it's not hydrated yet.
Mm-hmm.
So again, marshmallow root, contains vitamins and mucilage to help heal the surface of the gut. And again, it's completely up to you. The scientific tradition thinks you have a bacterial overgrowth that should be killed, and you can use herbs to achieve that end. The heroic mindset says that you have a problem which is caused by imbalance, and that the way to come back into balance is to kill something. And you can use herbs to achieve that end. And the wise woman mindset says that health comes about by nourishing wholeness, not by killing things. There's a bumper sticker on my refrigerator from a past apprentice, Linda Conroy, who runs two beautiful women's herbal and mushroom conferences, and it says, "What if nourishment works?"
Okay. And the four nourishing herbs, like the linden, the red clover, I also mix them. Is it better? Is it okay if I take the mix, or do you recommend just doing
this? I do not want you to mix them. Absolutely not.
Okay, just do one, like just rotate them. Okay.
One at a time. And what kind of scale did you get?
I'm sorry?
What kind of scale did you get?
What do you mean, what kind of scale?
Scale, a scale for weighing out the 1 ounce of herb.
I just have like a small little scale. It goes by grams, ounces.
Good. So you're able to get 1 ounce of 30 grams of herb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. All right. So long as you're weighing the herb out, using the individual herbs, I think that you will find that that will work very well indeed.
Okay. And what about the marshmallow and the slippery elm? How many grams of that should I be taking per day? And do I also rotate those?
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. How many grams of fruit do you eat each day? I'm sorry, do you take each day?
Okay, so right now I haven't been really...
These are nourishing herbs. We don't take them.
Mm-hmm. Right
we drink,
now...
drink our nourishing herbal infusions. What I do when I'm using marshmallow, and since they cut me open through my guts on the table and cut some of them out and then put them back in my body, I'm a big friend of marshmallow.
Okay.
I have a quart of marshmallow infusion in the refrigerator along with my other nourishing infusions. So perhaps I'm drinking, today I'm drinking linden infusion. And if I was drinking marshmallow, there would also be a quart of marshmallow. I'm not. Right now I'm drinking kava. And so there's a quart of kava infusion in the refrigerator. And once I've drunk my quart of linden for the day, then I will have, I had some in the morning, and I'll have a little more this evening, so that I'm getting some of that on a daily basis. The marshmallow is very soothing and healing. The comfrey and the linden are as well. So you have three really important soothing and healing plants working for you. And they're in... You'd be doing the marshmallow daily because it's the mildest of them all. And the slippery elm, I like to mix with honey and make into, like, balls that I can suck on.
Okay. And you don't, because I haven't really been doing fruit because of the sugar content. Because that kind of just feeds
so when,
the H. pylori.
When we digest food, it turns into sugar. We run on sugar. The idea that it will interfere with bacteria to not eat fruit hasn't been shown to be true. As a matter of fact, fruits like cranberries have been shown to be antibacterial. Fruits like blueberries are antibacterial.
I've been drinking, so I'm off the cranberry juice right now. It's been like maybe a week, but I was doing cranberry juice as well.
That seems absolutely reasonable, and cranberries are fruit.
Yeah, so that was like...
I prefer when they're in the season to buy whole cranberries, freeze them, and then whenever I want cranberry... as a medicine food, then I just cook some cranberries. I usually have some organic lemon or orange peel that I can cook with them and add a little organic sugar or organic honey because cranberries are very tart.
Mm-hmm.
That way I can control how much is in it, whereas in the juice I can't control how much is in it, how much sweetener is in it. Although there used to be a concentrate that you could buy, which wasn't sweetened.
Yeah, that's the one that I get. It's just like pure cranberry
dynamic
juice. There's no sugar added. It's, you know.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're still in business. Good for them. That's a great one to use.
So
again, you need to be doing this the way you imagine it. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was fond of telling the story about how she really got into that people needed to, like, fight off their cancer, and they needed to use imagery and affirmation. And she was talking to this man about that, and, you know, about creating these images of his cancer being knocked down and killed. And he said, "Elizabeth, I'm a Quaker. I don't do that." And she said, "Good, well, I'll be back in a week, and you tell me how you, the Quaker, are going to get rid of your cancer." And when she got back in a week, he said to her, "I have a little line of helpers lining up, carrying the cancer away cell by cell with love and gratitude."
Hmm. That's a beautiful imagery.
Yes, what are we committed to? Are we committed to war or not? Are we committed to nourishment? Are we committed to loving ourselves? Or are we going to make war on ourselves? War is always justified if you care to justify it.
Awesome. So, Susan, you mentioned that the marshmallow I should drink that daily, plus the other four, like rotating the other four herbs, like the comfrey.
I drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion every day. I rotate through five herbs. The one that you haven't added is oat straw, and that's okay. It's not a problem. And I do have herbs on the side, like marshmallow root or astragalus root or hibiscus or marshmallow root if I'm tending to something particular. So I'll be drinking about 6 cups of infusion a day then. Usually with the one that's going along on the side, I'm drinking some in the morning and some again in the evening. And I make them as simples. I don't mix them together because I want to have a body awareness of what's going on and how I'm responding.
Okay. And 30 grams in 1 quart of water.
Yes, 1 ounce in 1 quart of water.
Okay. And what do you think about, you know, fermented foods? Like,
I think they make you gassy. When I first got out of the hospital, I could watch other people eat. And I could eat, mashed potatoes without skins. And brie is pretty limited. But I watched everybody eating those things, and I said, and I will be eating those. My body will heal, my intestines will heal, and I will eat all foods. No food foibles is my motto. Just because I can't eat something now, I ate some kohlrabi the other night. And then the night after that, I ate some more kohlrabi. And it's been a long haul getting the brassicas back into my diet because they give me pretty intense gas pains. And given what they did to me, my body just kind of shuts down when there's gas pain. And I was very happy that I did not have the kind of gas pain that shut me down. Instead, I had like a terrible ache in my hips. Like, okay, you know, better.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the same thing, beans. Just so difficult to get beans back into my diet and trying, you know, a tablespoon of hummus or a little bit of this. And canned beans. I can do a small amount of canned beans once every other week. Just moving toward getting those things back in my diet. So you eat something that you want to be part of your healthy diet and it's not working for you, set it aside, come back to it.
Okay. Just one more thing about the raw garlic. I also, if you can tell me, what do you think of its medicinal properties? So I did the raw garlic, you know, like I mashed it in my pestle and mortar.
It's part of your arsenal. It's part of your arsenal of weaponry.
Well, I mixed it with, after I let it sit for a few minutes, I mixed it with olive oil and chopped cilantro, which is so yummy. I'm recommending it to everyone. Is that, like, once it's mixed
what
with
olive
oil?
What I prefer to do is actually make pesto.
Mm-hmm.
So I take my herb, basil, or parsley, or cilantro, or dandelion leaves, and I chop it a little bit, and I put it in my mini prep with garlic and salt and olive oil and blend it up into pesto. And then I preserve the antioxidant value of the herb because the herb is now marinated in the oil. I will actually get vitamins from it. When I'm eating the fresh herb, I get virtually no nutrition at all. You know that there's no nutrition in raw food.
Okay. So I'll make a pesto.
Yeah, make a pesto. And then you have it, so long as you don't put nuts or cheese in it. A pesto will stay good in the refrigerator for up to 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a great thing to do. Yeah, you know, it takes you 15, 20 minutes or something doing it and washing up, but then you have pesto for a while. And you don't have to, like, stop and chop the garlic every day.
Okay. Yeah,
one of my favorite breakfast add-ons is a tablespoon of pesto.
So good. Tried with the cilantro. It's amazing.
I agree. It is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. I actually, there's a farm, the farm stand I go to every Saturday. They're called Bodhi Tree. They're out in New Jersey. Their food is so good. Their veggies, everything. And they had last Saturday curly cilantro, which I had never heard of before. And it's the taste, it's a little spicy. It was so lovely. So I made the pesto out of that.
What fun!
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to say green blessings and bye-bye for now so that I can talk to the next person.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And we'll have a caller who's dialed in from the 401 area code. From the 401, you are live with Susan.
Hi, Susan. How are you tonight?
Enjoying this beautiful weather. How about you?
Yes, this has been quite nice. I work outside, so as it's cooling, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. And hopefully some rain tomorrow. I have a pretty quick question, I believe. My son's been home. I started school last week, and so we're home this week with a little cold of some sort. And we have our usual stuff that we go to, but his throat, he had like a dry cough and sounded like a sore throat. And without having a package of just powdered slippery elm, I have some capsules. And I wondered, I attempted to make the slippery elm balls from Monica Jean's video. They didn't come out so great because I think I was adding some cinnamon, so the consistency was off. But I kind of wanted to make it happen faster, so I thought, well, gee, can I just put the slippery elm in some maple syrup and give it to him like a cough medicine, and will he still get the same benefits, or does it have to be like in a lozenge form where it's consistently, I mean, will it still give you those demulcent properties if it's eaten and digested basically versus topically running down the throat?
It's a lot more effective when it is running down the throat.
As a, okay.
Basically, it's demulcent as it comes in contact with things.
Really topically, okay.
So people who are dealing with, like, ulcerative colitis are more likely to consume it so that it gets all the way down to the intestines. The nice thing about the slippery elm balls is that they can just be put in the cheek and slowly, 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 so that the effect goes on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it usually takes like at least 20 minutes to dissolve the ball. What I, the analogy that I like is pie dough. It's critically important that you add the honey to the slippery elm and not the other way around.
I'm trying to think, add the honey to the, I actually did maple syrup instead of honey, but that is what I did and kind of rolled around on it, and then I'm not sure
the maple syrup's going to work at all, because it doesn't really adhere. But as you say, you know, it makes kind of a syrupy thing that can be swallowed.
Right.
My daughter just boils it in water and drinks it as glop.
Drinks it. Yeah.
So then it's at least in the throat a longer amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's consistent.
But I wouldn't necessarily think of drinking slippery elm if there was a cough. Usually it's slippery elm lozenge if there's a cough.
Yeah.
And or mullein in any way, mullein tea, mullein. Tincture all help to quell coughs.
We did do, I have some of the mullein and garlic ear oil, which we've done too.
No, that will not work. That's the flowers. That doesn't work at all.
Well, he's got sinus congestion, and so that was the idea with attempting that. But for the cough, you're saying. I actually, I read.
I'm sorry, I thought we were talking about a cough. I didn't understand that switched.
Well, I think the cough is coming and the sore throat is probably coming from post-nasal drip because he has he's pretty good about blowing his nose, but he does have a consistent, I think it's either aggravating it or causing it, one or the other. He's drinking red clover infusion, which I read today I was unaware of is supposed to help with a spasmodic cough.
Yes.
And I think I did notice some this morning when I read it, and that's what he drank the rest of the day. There was a lot less coughing afternoon.
About how long has he been coughing now?
Yesterday and today, I would say. Today was a little worse than yesterday.
So not a really long time. All right.
No. What I love about having herbs at home is you can begin treatment immediately. You don't have to wait for an appointment.
Absolutely agree with you. You do not need someone to diagnose cough.
Right. I make coffee at the holiday times, but I guess I would be destroying the demulcent properties if I tried to make a toffee pop thing with slippery elm in it. Has to be a cold infusion, I believe.
I don't think that you can destroy the demulcent properties.
Oh, okay.
I know that I make comfrey infusion and marshmallow infusion, usually starting with an ounce in a quart jar and filling it to the top with boiling water in both instances.
Mm.
Then with the comfrey, what I do is I dump the wet comfrey leaves after I've drunk the infusion into a pan and add a couple of cups of cold water and brew it up and let it sit to bring out the demulcent qualities, which have not been activated by the hot water. With the marshmallow, right, but the hot water has gotten me the minerals, which I want. And the marshmallow, after I've done that first quart of hot water, and I drink that marshmallow root, then I just add cold water to the jar and let it sit in the refrigerator. And I may do that several times.
From the same,
the same root until it's not slippery anymore.
I need to get some marshmallow on hand that I did not have.
Bought two marshmallow plants from Linda Conroy when I was at the Midwest Women's Herbal Conference. And one of them was an older plant, and it's flowered, it's fairly tall, good looking, has lots and lots of seeds. And the other one has trebled in size, and it will probably flower next year. It is a garden plant, and it is easy to grow and propagate. So for now, buy some marshmallow for sure. But if you have some garden room, it's a great plant to bring on in to your space.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Green blessing.
Good night.
All right. We will move to our next caller who has dialed in from the 352 area code. From the 352, you are live with Susan.
Hello.
Hey, Susan. How are you doing this evening?
Oh.
This is Carol.
Hey, Carol. How are you?
Doing great. I wanted to share something and ask you what in the world. Passion flower is pretty out nice and strong right now. And I know it's good for sleep. So as I'm harvesting it, these bumblebees are literally falling asleep on these flowers. Have you ever seen it? I mean, I'm thinking, are they dead? But I go out like in the evening, right at dusk, and every 10th flower, there'll be either one or three bumblebees just sitting on it, no humming, not moving. And then I wiggle the thing, and one little, you know, wings will start buzzing, and then I'm like, you know, move. And like when I clicked one off my fingers, I like kicked it off, and it came alive in midair. So I thought, wow, that would be considered a doctrine of signature. I mean, before my very eyes.
I've actually seen that on numerous flowers. And usually it's the carpenter bees, which look a little like small bumblebees. But they're smaller. And you can actually pet them. They get so just blissed out from the nectar. And I think also that they forage later in the day, and then they get a little cold.
Yeah,
and then it's kind of like, oops, a little hard to move now.
Right, they're full, and now they're just tired. And what a phenomenon.
They're full, and the temperature has dropped, and like, uh-oh.
And it feels good, so probably. It was just funny when they came alive in midair from the little flip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, they really are asleep. I got some hibiscus leaves tonight at the farmer's market, and I thought, oh, pesto, when you were talking to that lady. I thought, I've never tried hibiscus leaves. I like to use hibiscus pretty daily. And leaves. It might make an interesting pesto.
It might. Okra is in the hibiscus family, and so is marshmallow. And they're all kind of sticky and slimy, so I'm not exactly sure where this pesto is going to go.
Okay, well, try a little bit, see what happens. But
so
I'm just
call,
it,
call us back and let us know.
I shall. I'm more tempted to put it in with my collards.
Slippery, slimy collards.
Pork. Yeah, a little lemony. I just couldn't wait to share this thing with the bees. It was, all right, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing. But anyway, I'll let you go. Maybe you can get another call in. It was nice talking to you, Susan.
Thanks for your call. Green blessings. Good night.
Green blessings. Good night.
All right. And we do have an email question. And before we go to that, I'll remind everyone listening, we may have time for one more caller after the email. So if you've got a question for Susan this evening, please press 1 and raise your hand, and we will go to you after the email question, provided we've got time. All right. And are you ready for the email then?
I am ready for the email question, yes.
All right. It's a lot of detail, so I am just going to read it all the way through. Hello, Susan. I am glad I found you 2 months ago. I enjoy learning from you, books and listening to the podcast. Thank you for what you do. I have a question about my diet I wanted to ask. During my 3 pregnancies in 2021, I had a food aversion and developed a preference to plain Greek yogurt and cheese. I could eat these types of food as my daily protein all day, fruit and some vegetables. After pregnancy, my appetite normalized and I added back vegetables, some other proteins like chicken, meat, eggs, sometimes fish, but the habit to eat lots of cheese and yogurt stays. I usually eat 8 to 12 ounces of cheese and 15 to 30 ounces of yogurt every day. Fruit, vegetables, olive or avocado oils, and animal fats. I do not eat grains. Last 3 years after I found out using a glucose meter for 6 months that they raised my blood sugar too much. So my diet is low carb now. My weight is normal. I am 42, still nursing my 1.5-year-old baby, homeschooling my older children, overall feeling good. But I am worried too much protein from cheese and calcium from it may somehow damage my health, my kidneys, or arteries. I've done some blood and urine tests, and they still seem normal. There are days when I am busy or stressed out or upset, and I can eat 2 to 3 blocks of 8-ounce cheese, 24 ounces total, per day. The visual consequences usually are bloating after yogurt and cysts-like under-skin pimples that may take 5 to 7 days to go away. I tried to limit my dairy consumption, but it does not work for a long time. Also, I tried to agree with my husband who does grocery shopping and get him not to buy cheese, so I couldn't see it in the fridge, but couldn't because he and the children need it in their diet. When I had a physical exam, I asked for abdominal and kidney ultrasound to check if I am still fine, and there is not tons of calcium deposits as I imagined, and I was about to do it and then realized that's probably too much imaging. And I had it 3 years ago, and it was normal. And I started to look for an answer if ultrasounds are as safe as they are told to be. And I found the answer in your book, Abundantly Well, and canceled the ultrasound appointment. If you could please recommend or advise something about this situation in general and how to break emotional eating habits. Also, do you think overeating calcium-rich foods may have irreversible consequences? Thank you for your help and your time.
No, yes, no, yes, yes. Of course, if we were talking, the very first question that I would ask is, are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions? And your answer would make a big difference in the answers that I would give to your other questions. As you were talking about how much cheese and how much yogurt you were eating, the first thing that struck me was, oh, this is a nursing woman. I actually recommend that nursing women drink 3 quarts of infusion a day. I suspect that if you were drinking 3 quarts of nourishing herbal infusion a day, while you would still want cheese, you would not be able to eat 24 ounces or 1.5 pounds of cheese on a daily basis, because your mineral needs would be being met by the nourishing herbal infusions. That's what your body wants, is the minerals. It's interesting to me that you focus on calcium as though yogurt and cheese were only calcium. As you yourself stated, they are rich in healthy fats. They are rich in healthy proteins. They are rich in healthy vitamins. And they are rich in a variety of minerals, including calcium. Calcium is not used by itself in the body, and that's why we run into trouble when we take a supplement. When we're taking supplements, then we can, in fact, have consequences from taking in too much calcium, because it's not really in a usable form, so it causes side effects. So, again, to reiterate, you're not causing yourself any health problems. You're certainly not causing yourself any cardiac problems, and you're not causing yourself any bone problems. Good studies have shown that there is no upper limit on the amount of yogurt or cheese that a woman can eat and maintain good bone health. There is an upper limit on dairy milk. More than a quart of fluid milk a day can lead to lessening of bone mass, but there's no limit on cheese or yogurt in terms of all of the observational studies that have been done on that. But if you were drinking nourishing herbal infusions, at least 1/2 gallon and better 3 quarts a day, I suspect you would find different things happening. I also suspect that you wouldn't find that grains would raise your glucose, because in fact whole grains are designed to maintain and moderate blood sugar, and it's kind of hard to have a healthy diet and maintain a healthy blood sugar for decades without whole grains in the diet. Green blessings. If I miss something, I hope you can give a call. Good night.
All right. Thank you. And we do have a caller that has raised their hand. So we think we've got enough time for one more question. And we'll go, if you're ready, to the 217 area code. You ready for your next call?
I'm ready.
All right. From the 217, you are live with Susan.
Hi, Susan. It's Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
How are you doing today? I'm great. I've been out in the garden and yard all day today.
Oh, you lucky girl, you.
I needed a good weather day, and the red clover was out there celebrating and working on my shorties and back to doing some markets. So the weather's better, so that's always fun.
Yes.
Yes, and I called in to give this wonderful report. So a couple months ago, you had this wonderful lady from the mountain area who did nails, and she said she used bee balm on fungus.
Purple bee balm.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I went right out there and did it the next day and strained it off, and I said, I'm doing this because I run into veterans who have terrible foot funk. So my first day at the market, a week and a half ago, this lady, electrical mechanic, so cool, crocheting these comfort critters and hair scrunchies, was itching her feet. And I said, please, may I give you this? And I explained it, and she said, let me give you a hair scrunchie.
And
yes. Now she's going to make me one with every color to match my outfit.
Did it work?
Yes, ma'am. She said for 15 years her feet have itched. She has itched, scratched them bloody. And she had a week without it hurting, itching, no problems. Hit me up today and said, can I use this on my dog's feet? He's always itching his feet.
Oh, wow, of course.
I said, yes, but let's look at his dog food, too, and make sure there's no corn and soy in there. You know, dogs will tend to smell like Fritos or corn chips if they're they get itchy feet. So, but it worked.
Okay.
It's so great, and I just wanted to, like, tell everybody. And one of my clients is a nurse in charge of some things out at the VA, so I'm real happy to be able to get in contact with her and say, send those veterans to me. She works with a good group of ladies.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! Get their feet quit itching. So I guess that's
way for herbs.
Way for herbs. And for bee balm. I mean, here in Illinois, it grows wild everywhere in set-aside fields. It's one of the plants they plant. So it's one of those flowers that are everywhere. And, you know, those are my favorite, the ones out the back door, so I don't have to go anywhere. So I'm just excited about it, and I wanted to share that with you, and counting down the weeks to come and do Moon Lodge with you. I'm really excited. I'm going to stay with Justine. And
okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm counting down to then, Jackie.
I know. I think we're about out of time. I can't wait to listen to Annie. My husband really enjoyed, we listened to a podcast, or one of the things you and Ann did 2 years ago, and you were talking about running chainsaws, and he thought it was wonderful. And,
all right.
He had been kind enough to some of the students that I had years ago. He taught the ladies, any of them that wanted to learn to use chainsaws or any tools. So,
all right.
Yeah. So you got points. And we had popcorn waiting and enjoying this and waiting for Annie.
Okay.
For Annie, you, and to get it to go. I guess that's about it. I'll see you in 2 weeks. You got more calls, I bet.
All right. See you in a couple of weeks.
You got it. And have a great time with Astrid. Give her a hug for me.
You bet I will. Love you.
All right. Love you, girl. Bye.
All right. Well, and like we have about 11 minutes before Anna is scheduled to join us. She is here. If you'd like to go to her, I don't see another hand raised. What would you like me to do? I could also announce that we have time for another question.
Well, I think that people know that we have time for another question, and they haven't raised their hand. So why don't we welcome Anna Clint. She works with women all over the globe, healing their painful past and creating lives they really love. Anna is an expert in the field of psychospiritual energetic healing, using state-of-the-art energy healing tools and transformational listing, plus spiritual coaching to guide clients out of confusion, self-doubt, and perfectionism, and into a life of grace, ease, connection, and purpose. She herself lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And when she's not writing about self-love and other things, you're going to find her out walking her one-eyed healer, and that's two E's, a healer, Luna Tuna, among the juniper trees. Hello, sweet sister Anna. We get to talk again. I'm so glad that life gives us these opportunities.
Me too. Oh, my goodness. Hi, Susan, and what a lovely introduction before that from Jackie. Hi, Jackie. how fun that we get to be here. And I, when Jackie came on, I was like, I wonder if that's the same Jackie who emailed me today.
It is. You're going to do another Ignite Your Phoenix Soul Live Salon. Is that true?
I am. Yep, it's Thursday.
Wow.
I know. And this might be the last time I do this for a while. So everyone who has not been to one of these events, you're going to want to come because they're really beautiful and inspiring and connected and just loving. They're so loving. And it's been such an honor, Susan, you know, to have you on some of these events. And it's such an honor to get to talk to you today. And yeah, I'm just really happy to be here. And kind of jealous, what is the Moon Lodge thing that you're doing?
Many, many, many years ago, I was participating in a conversation with a group of women, and we were talking about a theme that is near and dear to many of our hearts, which is saving the earth, healing the earth. And I noticed, as this conversation was going along, that Brooke Medicine Eagle wasn't saying anything. And so I turned to her after a while and said, well, what do you have to say about this? And she said, I'm always amazed at white ego.
Yeah.
She said, the earth is your mother. The earth is your healer. You do not heal her. You do not take care of her.
Right.
And we were really stunned. I mean, what are we going to do with our lives if we don't do that, for goodness sake?
Right. Totally. Oh, no.
She knew that she just pulled the rug out from under us, and she said, so while you can't heal the earth or save the earth, you can nourish the earth, a woman of my own leanings. And she said, and the most important nourishment for the earth is menstrual blood.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to us about Moon Lodge and Moon Lodge ceremonies and Moon Lodge gatherings all over the world and kind of challenged us to go forth and to have Moon Lodges. And so I had been having a Moon Lodge once a month, sometimes twice a month during the summer months, during the good weather, which is basically April through October here,
mm-hmm.
for about 32 years.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and so anyone that wants to come can join you?
Any woman can come and join the Moon Lodge, correct. And a
whether
woman
or not they're menstruating.
Oh, would you really want to be in a group of just menstruating women? Bitchy.
No. No, totally.
Really?
So whether you have
and
to
not only
be.
That, you need to have some maidens to go and fetch firewood and the right herbs. And you need to have the crones there to tell them which herbs to go and get, right?
Oh, my gosh. I love this. Okay, so if I'm in the Woodstock area in the summertime, I need to reach out to you and find out if you're doing a Moon Lodge.
Correct. They're
right
on my schedule.
Okay.
They're on,
I will look.
Yeah. And so let me walk over here, and I can tell you, let's see, we have September and October. There's probably two more Moon Lodges this year. And, again, it's always on my schedule. And we have a Moon Lodge on September 29th and on October 27th. And
nice.
then no more this year, but next year. And we gather. We gather. We, as someone put it, we sing silly songs and dance dorky dances. And then we pass a talking stick, which in this case is actually a very interesting woven red object that was given to me. And each woman has an opportunity to speak and to share what's going on with her. And we sit in age order, so the eldest speaks first, and it moves around the circle from the oldest to the youngest.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I really hate going to New York, but that would make it much more fun. So that's great. I'm making a mental note.
Mental note. Could be fun in New York. if required, could possibly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us more about this. It's an online gathering, yes?
Correct. It's an online gathering. We're meeting basically all day on Zoom, and we're starting at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern, and we're going to run for about 8 hours. We'll take a half-hour break for lunch, and there'll be lots of little mini breaks kind of at the top of the hour or bottom of the hour here and there for refilling your glass of nourishing herbal infusions or releasing from your body at the other end of your nourishing herbal infusions.
What Jean Houston used to call drink and drain time.
Exactly, drink and drain time, exactly. Exactly. So we'll have lots of little mini breaks and then a half-hour meal break in the middle of the day, meal movement integration break. And I've got 11 guests coming. Actually, it's actually 12 guests because I'm bringing on one of my awesome clients to talk about our work together. So it's really me and 12 really fantastic women from all over the world coming together, and we're talking about creativity, nature connection, spirituality, healing, alignment in your business. If you have a business or if you're interested in ditching your corporate for something that's more soul aligned, or if you're interested in making your corporate gig more soul aligned, there's really something for everybody about living a life of purpose, whatever that looks like for you.
What does that mean to live a life of purpose?
Great question. I'll let you know when I figure it out. No. Well, there's so many ways to think about purpose. And at the most basic fundamental level, I really feel like for so many of us, we have such a wound around loving ourselves that at a fundamental level, you could say, or I would say, that a big part of our purpose is actually learning to just be radically okay with who we are and whatever it is that our life is, whether we have created a life that is really satisfying to us or whether we've had trauma to overcome or obstacles or challenges, and just being radically okay with everything and understanding that it is all actually leading us, if we choose to have this worldview, it is leading us in the direction of purpose and meaning and connection. So that's the basic kind of like the ground level, is like really learning to love ourselves. Because from there springs everything, right? It's like, how do we nourish the earth if we are doing so coming from a place of self-loathing and self-denial, for instance? Like, we can't pour love into anything around us until it is coming through us. And that means also, you know, we're allowed to receive that same love. But then, you know, purpose can go in so many directions from there. We hear, at least a lot of people that I talk to, I don't want to speak for everybody, but a lot of people think that their purpose has to be like related to their work, like their job, or if they do, if they're entrepreneurs or if they work in nonprofit, that their purpose is somehow tied to their job or making money. And that gets kind of confusing and it gets kind of muddy. And in some ways, your work absolutely can be related to your purpose. But in so many ways, isn't it true that the way that you conduct yourself out in the world can be purposeful and can be uplifting to anyone and everyone, from the grocer at the grocery store to, you know, just someone that you're, you know, passing on the street? I live in a community where, you know, when you're walking on the road, the drivers slow down, hopefully, and they kind of wave at you and you wave at them, you acknowledge each other on the road, and just that acknowledgement is purposeful and meaningful. So living a life of purpose from that perspective could also just be about being awake and aware and in a reciprocal relationship with your environment, including the people, the plants, the animals in that environment, and just being intentional, being loving.
Being willing not to be alone.
Ooh, I have chills when you say that. Being willing not to be alone.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, we are becoming an increasingly fragmented culture and society, and aloneness is not a like, you know, having time to yourself is not a bad thing. However, we're wired for connection, and we have to have our experience mirrored because of our physiology, and we can't do that alone. And so much happens in that space of human connection. I'm so grateful for our connection and what comes out of it. Like, I always learn something more about me, about you, about people, you know, and that can't happen in a vacuum. So thank you. I love that. That's really beautiful.
I read this line in a novel I was reading, and it says, you don't really know someone until you've broken up with them.
Oh, ouch. Oh, gosh, that feels so true and, like, really
kind
of
like, oh, ah!
Yeah, like, oh, shit, I just walked over broken glass. Oh, my gosh. Wow, that is really astute, and I'm going to sit with that for some time. Yeah.
So I was talking to someone who said that she was lonely, and I said, first of all, well, you can't be lonely. It's impossible to be lonely. You're on this planet that's throbbing with life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She said, oh, you know, but it's not the same as humans. And I said, well, go online and connect with other people.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing, right? You're creating.
Right. That's what we're doing on Thursday. Exactly.
Place where women can come and be in women's culture for an entire day with you and 15 or so other women who will be there sharing. And usually, when everybody is together on Zoom, there's a function where people can raise a hand and ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's
going to be an interactive
day. It is not like being together in real life. It's not. It's true.
No.
In the same way that wearing a condom is not like having sex without it. It's true. But better sex with a condom than none at all. Better groups on Zoom than none at all, gang.
Right, exactly. Oh, gosh. I was drinking a sip of tea right when you said that.
Sorry, oop, tea up your nose.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, let's be real. Like, there's stuff happening in different corners of the world, like your moon circle, you know, your moon lodge, which, you know, I would love to be there in person one day. And until then, I'm so grateful that we have this technology that I can connect with you in another way. And because it isn't happening in my backyard, at least not with you.
And when I talk to women about running moon lodges, I say, when you look at the women who are there for your event, you have to multiply by 10, because for every woman who comes, there's another 10 women who want to be there.
Right. Yeah,
and they haven't gotten their very busy, very responsible lives to a place where they can be yet. Keep doing it. They will come.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
I'm sure you hear this from women. I've been trying to get to your salon, to your event for years, and I finally made it. And so, again, we want to say that What Anna's doing is very special and really feeds yourself in a way that very few other things can do. And she does it exquisitely, and she might not be doing it again for a while. So go on, third.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Susan. I mean, that really means a lot coming from you, especially. I appreciate that. And I do put so much love and care and attention, and I hold really deep space, and it is a really interactive space. You know, when we're talking about stepping into purpose, we're talking about pushing through our comfort zone. We're talking about maybe doing things differently or things we've never, ever done before. We're talking about breaking old habits, you know, potentially of isolation and making new habits. And all of that is edgy. And to be able to be surrounded, you know, by a group of women online who are all in a similar position and having a similar experience is so nourishing, so nourishing. Like, this is a nourishing herbal infusion for your soul.
Absolutely, and, yes.
Yeah.
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 And it's not necessary to do it forever to get the benefit. What's really amazing me is how much benefit there is from doing it once. If you're saying to yourself, oh, yeah, well, but then I'll never get to do it again. It's okay. You know, you'll get so much from it, even if you never get to do it again. I will say that once you participate in something like this, it is addictive. You will want to do it again.
Yes, of course. And you know, once you're part of my community, you have the opportunity to join my free Mighty Network if you want to stay involved. And, of course, I have a women's circle called the Sacred Sanctuary, which is a very high-touch, very love-infused, very small and intimate gathering of women who are on a shared journey of living their purpose. And just, gosh, is it luscious and deep, the places that we go to in that group. And so, yeah, so this might be the last of this event that I do for some time, undetermined at this time. But that doesn't mean that there aren't still other ways to stay connected. And I sure would love to get back to doing some in-person events as well. And just, you know, being in community and in circle in the flesh with women just feels really good too. So if anyone's in the Santa Fe area, let me know.
All right. Hey, yes.
Including you, Susan. Come visit.
Okay. I generally make a yearly pilgrimage to be with my oldest friend in Tucson.
Yeah. Do you drive out or fly out?
I always fly out. So, unfortunately, Santa Fe is a bit far, but who knows? Maybe she and I will drive your way and you can drive our way.
Yeah.
We could meet in some mystical middle there.
Oh, my
for
gosh.
A time,
we
at a,
meet,
a
yes,
time at a spa.
We should.
That's the kind of thing she likes to do, is to go find some spa.
Oh, we
somewhere.
Should meet in Truth or Consequences and do the hot tubs, the hot
well,
springs.
There you go. See?
All right. Let me know. I'll be there.
Okay. I'll let you know. We'll do it.
Okay. Good.
What got you into offering this kind of event for women? I was talking to Astrid last night, and you know, it's right before her event, which is going to be this coming weekend, and it's always kind of that right before when you're both the most excited and you're at the most like, why am I doing this?
Totally.
Am I like, have I totally taken leave of my senses? I have put so much effort and so much energy and so much care and so much love into this. Like, really? Yeah. Really? And like, two people have signed up? You know, or 20 or 200 or however many it is, you're always like thinking, oh, nobody loves me. And on some level, right?
Oh my gosh, it's so true. It's so true. Well,
and,
you know, right before
and yeah, what I said ahead. To her is, it is its own reward. We
yeah.
create events because I'll speak for myself because I am driven to create women's culture.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And
it's all about the connection.
I want to be in that women's culture.
Yeah.
And I want it enough that I'm going to create it. And if others want to come and play with me, goody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I launched my first summit. This is kind of like a summit, but it's more, I'm calling it a salon because it's live for a day, but it's similar to the summit model where you invite a lot of seekers and we all collaborate and cross-promote and share the word about this women's culture. And the first one I did was in January of 2020, and it was a real initiation into visibility and growing my reach and being able to connect with women all over the world. And it was excruciating and terrifying and all of these things. And it was just such a beautiful journey for me, also a growth journey. And then in early 2021, I think is when I brought you on to my first of these events, and that was Rising from the Ashes. And that's when you and I kind of just like struck a chord with each other. And that was a much larger event, and I started incorporating live events then because I just got so much energy for myself out of being live with people and having real questions in the moment and just, you know, we had tea ceremonies and meditations and like we just had, it was just so much fun and it was exhausting and it was grueling and it was so expensive to put on. I mean, it was like everything you can imagine. And I thought, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? And then the next year I came up with this theme of, you know, I kept going with the Phoenix theme, and I came up with the bookends, the spring and fall events, the Resurrect Your Phoenix Heart and the Ignite Your Phoenix Soul. And you've been on both of those springtime events like last year and this year. And I kind of got addicted to it and addicted to the connection, to the collaboration, to, you know, being able to create this nourishing, safe space for women to come into and to be seen and heard and held by, you know, everyone there, not just me. It is a bit addictive, and I'm going to find other ways to reproduce it on a smaller scale that are a little bit more nourishing for my nervous system. And, you know, but this all day live thing, I probably am not going to do this again for a while. I'm not going to say I'm never going to do it again, but I don't think I'm going to do it for a while because my nervous system needs a bit of a reset and a retooling. And so I'm going to look at how I can recreate this in other ways, but they'll be more intimate, and which is a good thing in my book. And more laser focused, I think, because it won't be with, you know, so many guests and so many different events in one day, which is really like a beautiful buffet. So I've been telling all of my friends and colleagues in January when I get ready to start my next one, remember what I said. We're not doing another one for a little while. We're going to take a break and redirect.
redirect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So tell us about Luna Tuna.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I was in a coaching container a couple of years ago with a beautiful woman named Dr. Tara Christoph, and she actually died almost a year ago. And she was young, and it was a real tragedy. And so in the last year that I coached with her, she had a beautiful program called Women on Purpose, and she invited all of us to have a soul project for the year. And that was like not business related necessarily. Like it could be writing a book. It could be doing a creative project. It could be I don't know what. And I had just adopted this terror of a dog, this absolute terror of a dog named Luna. And she had spent her first 3 years in an abusive situation. She had been attacked right before, that's how she came to me, was that she was attacked by some roaming country dogs, and they mangled her and took her eye out. And she's really fierce, so I can only imagine how terrifying that fight must have been. And so she came to me, and her eye was stitched shut. She was terrified of me. She wouldn't come close to me in the first day. But as soon as I fed her, she kind of got the picture like, oh, this is going to work out. And by the second day, I was on the floor, and she was in my lap and licking my neck. So we got along. She and I got along really well. But anytime I would take her for a walk, I was kind of terrified because she had terrible fear aggression. And I'd never had a dog that would lunge and bark and growl at someone who was, you know, walking 10, 12, 15 feet away. And so I really took it upon myself to figure out how I could work with this really traumatized, wounded creature who desperately just needed love and care and really loved people and affection, but she's terrified of it. And so she became my soul project. And I did have to hire a trainer because I was out of my league with her. Even though I've had dogs my whole life, I just never had a dog that was quite, healers are very sensitive and very, they have a hair trigger because of their central nervous system is just very, very quick and fast, like way faster than mine. And so, she became my soul project, and I just poured into her lots of training, lots of discipline, lots of boundaries, lots of tuning into what she needed to be safe. And I've had her now for almost 3 years, and she's a totally different dog. She's still triggery, and she's still real nervous about new people. But if people just ignore her and let her come to them, boy, she goes to them right away, whereas it took months and months for her to just get comfortable with my mom, and that was seeing her all the time. So, you know, over 3 years now, her response time is just so much faster. And she is just a love, and she's goofy, and she's funny, and she's expressive, and she's horrible at letting me take pictures of her or shoot video, because if I could, she'd be like a YouTube phenomenon. She's so funny, and she's adorable.
My gosh.
She's totally adorable.
And, you know, I always really enjoy these stories with traumatized animals because it's very rare that someone says, and the way that I got this traumatized animal to feel safe and comfortable was by making war against it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Right, exactly. And so what on earth are we doing as humans, right? It's just like, it's just so clear. Animals are such wonderful teachers to us. I mean, I have never had to be so attuned to the cues and the needs of another creature. And I realized this is exactly what I needed as a child. This is exactly what I needed in my marriage. This is exactly what I need to do with myself. And this is the third dog that I've had as an adult. I've had dogs that lasted a long time. And each one had really poignant, astute lessons for me at that time in my life. And this dog is just spot on. I mean, she is such a fantastic teacher to me, and is just like crazy good mirror. Like, she's one of those mirrors that magnified, so you see everything. You know, every spot, every hair, every pimple, every blackhead. Like, that's this
every,
dog.
Every
she's that kind of hair. Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's great.
Wow. Luna Tuna, what a gift.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
There are just always so many opportunities to be gifted and to be more expansive and more loving.
Mm-hmm.
And
indeed,
to prove to ourselves over and over again that loving kindness and nourishment really does work.
Yeah, it really does work. Exactly. And we can offer that to ourselves as much or more than we can offer it to others. Like, it's needed, it's necessary to ourselves as much or more than we need to give it to others.
In fact, I sometimes think that you and I would have very little left to do if everyone loved themselves.
Oh, for sure. I would be out of work, and that would be a good thing. Like, I could just, you know, I don't know, just do something else.
Walk your dog.
I mean, I love what I do. I absolutely adore the work that I do. But how wonderful would it be if it was not necessary?
Always my
what
goal to.
Yeah.
To become unnecessary.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. To become obsolete.
You know, for me, having a purpose has to do with doing that very human thing of creating significance.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
The goats enjoy today.
Right.
They do not have holidays. There's never a day that we go out to the barn and the goats say, oh, it's this special holiday and we're going to do this to observe it. They make every day a holiday, one could say.
Right.
But they don't separate things out. It's humans.
Right.
Say, this has significance. This is how I am going to symbolize this particular thing. And
mm-hmm.
I say to women that you have significance in your life only insofar as you are willing to name it and live it.
Right. Right. We'll add in one more. Name it, claim it, and live it.
There you go.
Yeah. That's right.
Because that's what we do as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful that we can indeed do that. I feel very gratified that my purpose basically has been fulfilled. The big hoorah I had, cancer and surgery,
mm-hmm.
nearly dying 3 years ago, really, you know, brought me to the other side thinking, oh, you know, it's like now I'm living my post-death life.
Right.
Now I get to see what would have happened if I had died.
Right.
And so I said, well, then you need a new purpose. And since my purpose of restoring herbal medicine to its rightful place is people's medicine, I really think is like alive and on its own and doesn't need me to
mm-hmm.
jump on any soapbox for it anymore. I've decided that the purpose for the last 25 years of my life will be to remind us all we cannot do it wrong.
Mm, 100%. I love that. Yeah, we can't do it wrong. We just need to show up. Just showing up is enough.
And so now I have a purpose. Up until 102, should I live longer than that, I will need to have a new purpose.
Okay, we'll put heads together and we'll figure that out when we get there.
We'll figure that out when we get to that age, exactly. But I like to, you know, I like to sometimes set a time limit on things,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes, like with the restoring herbal medicine to its rightful place, I didn't know how long it would take, so I just left it open ended. But it's
yeah.
also, I think, important to actually say, I have achieved this. I have achieved this purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Celebration is such an important part of the journey. And it's really easy to overlook it and to just say, well, let me get on to the next thing then. Like, what's the next best thing for me? Or where am I going? And it's like, well, wait a second. Where are you right now? Where you are right now is beautiful. Like, holy cow, have you ever restored herbs to the rightful, you know, place
right.
as people's
right.
medicine.
Right.
Like, holy cow,
right.
yeah.
And
let's celebrate that.
Right. And in the work that you do, you give women a safe place to celebrate their success.
Absolutely. It is such an important part of the journey. And it provides it's the fuel that keeps us going too. We, you know, otherwise the fuel that drives us forward is perfectionism or not enoughness or imposter syndrome. I have to keep doing better. I have to get another certification. I have to, you know, learn how to do this so that I can help this. Or, and it's like, well, wait, no, actually, look at all the magic you have already at your disposal. Look at all the tools that you've acquired over your lifetime. Look at all the wisdom you've acquired. You know, be with that space. Honor that. There's no other person exactly like you with your set of experience and skills and passion and drive and focus and love. Everyone has their own special, unique recipe. And so you can only do you and, you know, and celebrate that. It's a really special thing.
And many women are late starters.
I am for sure. Super late.
It's not too late to start in your 30s. It's not too late to start in your 40s. It's not too late to start in your 50s or your 60s or whatever age you are. It's
right.
Not too late.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Totally. I have a great aunt. She's in her 80s. And she had a career as a social worker. She had her MSW. And she worked for decades as a social worker. And then in her 50s, she said, I feel like going to law school. And now she's still practicing law in her 80s, and she loves it.
Wow.
You know? I know.
Yeah.
She's sharp as a tack. She's, you know, traveling, doing things, whatever, whatever. She's incredible. And I was like, yeah, you know, I just turned 50 this year, right? And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, who knows what's ahead for me? I have no idea.
Jean Houston,
so for it.
Jean Houston used to tell us, you know, people used to have to die and then come back and have a new life. She says, but now you just have to create a new life when it's time. You don't have to die anymore.
Yeah, totally. What a relief.
That
means we don't have to.
Because, you know, you have to come back, you have to learn to walk, talk, be a toilet
exactly.
Train. There's a lot of, like, you know, early year upkeep. It's better just to, like,
do the
kind of work with Anna that she is offering. And you might say to yourself, really, what could go on in one day? Problems are complicated, but solutions are simple.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Something can happen in that one day that you may not even know at the time it happened, and it will unlock something in you that you will wake up to.
Yeah, and people do, they come back and they say, wow, this is so profound. This is like, this changed me. And I sit here and I say, oh, it's just this one day thing, whatever, whatever. I say the same exact thing. But then the participants come back and they tell me the most beautiful takeaways, the shifts in perspective that happened that made such a real tangible difference to them because they could finally see something in a different way. And that is what, you know, Marianne Williamson calls a miracle, that shift in perspective, because it offers us an opportunity to do something differently that we could not do before because the perspective wasn't there to allow it. And it's just, it's really beautiful, really beautiful.
As always, when I'm talking with Anna Clint, I could listen and talk and enjoy and benefit for a long, long time. But here we are on a blog talk show, and they're kind of severe about cutting us off. So what haven't you talked about that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I think we've touched on so much that's so beautiful.
Then what would you like to leave in the hearts and the minds of everyone listening to you?
You, each and every person listening here, you have a purpose that is imprinted on your soul. You have a contract that you came here to fulfill. And that contract is your actualization, the self-realization, you becoming the most you version of you that there is. So without all of the conditioning and the bullshit from society and family and trauma and this and that, inside of you is your intrinsic soul self, and it came here to express. And that's what we're going to be talking about on Thursday. And the way to join us, it's totally free, by the way, all day, completely free, is to go to my website. Can I share that now?
Please.
Okay. So go to my website. My name is confusing. It's Anna, but it's spelled with an E like Anne. So it's A-N-N-E-M, as in Monique, K-L-I-N-T, as in Tom, AnnaMClint.com/Phoenix, as in the city or the mythical creature, Phoenix-Soul. And that'll take you right to the website. So AnnaMClint.com/Phoenix-Soul, S-O-U-L, and join us. You have plenty of time to join us. Tomorrow, an email is going out in the morning with a beautiful Phoenix Earth Grid activation. It's from Shirley Lohmeyer. It's going to be really juicy and great. So jump on there tonight. and join us.
I envision that we are reweaving the healing cloak of the ancients. And
yes.
This weaving is also a musical piece. And I think that this event, which you are having on Thursday, is a very important note, a very important chord in this concert that will set a theme in motion that will carry you to whatever is coming.
Thank you for that beautiful blessing, Susan, and it is a real honor to have this time with you. I always appreciate it.
Thank you for all you do, Anna. And hey, Sarah Ellen, thank you to listeners. Green blessings. Lots of love. And good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.